Today on Real Radio.
This week, you saw probably on the news, they were playing it again, where Rosie O'Donnell said, and I quote, "Radical Islam is as dangerous as radical Christianity." I don't know what planet she lives on, but I pray for her. But radical Islam is as dangerous as radical Christianity. Let me think that through for a minute. If I obey the Quran word for word, you're dead. If I obey the Bible word for word, I have to love you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. In chapter 12, Jesus is approached by a man who had a disagreement with his brother on an inheritance issue. The Messiah responded with strong words. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to take us through verses 13 through 21 in a presentation called Life According to Whom?
When I'm supposed to live as a disciple just for simple sustenance, I make it a big deal. It's a danger because I could begin to derive pleasure, meaning, passion, and trusting in these things. Jesus says, don't seek them. The word in the Greek is stop it. The word implies that we do this. Stop doing it. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. That includes food. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That takes effort. Do not lean to your own understanding. That takes effort. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's awesome. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. Give that to your children. That's a great one. Matthew 6:8. For your father, Jesus said, knows the things that you have need of before you ask. So if the father knows before I even ask, then that should embolden me to ask. Verse 30, he says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, or the Gentiles, those who do not know the Lord. It's been said that warring insults God and defies reality. Isn't that great? Actually, Mark Twain said that. Warring insults God and defies reality. What a great word that is. Worry stacks tomorrow's burdens on top of today's realities. You're dealing with today, but what about tomorrow? Some people are already involved in tomorrow. They haven't even finished today. Third, under this point, what energizes your life? Is it in your hope in God? We have faith in God. We have trust in God. Do we have hope in God? He says, your Father knows that you have need of these things. This may sound very simplistic, but I got to tell you, it blesses me big time. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those who follow him, and he said, look at, mark it, he said, your Father knows. Church, you and I are in the 21st century. We take this for granted. In the first century, when Jesus was speaking, Jesus broke the silence, as it was. In the Old Testament, there was always this distance and this fiery mountain, so to speak, and the temple and the Ark of the Covenant and the there were processions and protocols of how to get into God's presence. It was such a big and difficult deal, and it was supposed to be that way. Jesus comes and makes a radical statement that we take for granted. Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, your Father. We don't get it. When he said it, their eyes had to get big. What? You are telling us that God wants us as his kids? You are telling us that we should call him Father? You'll never find this anywhere in the world in any religion where God turns to you and says, I'm your father. Come here. This is revolution thinking and revolution words. Your father knows. You cannot get a bigger boost in hope than this. It's your father knows, your dad knows everything, so what are you worrying about? Everyone, remember when we were little? And I believe this is of God. I hope you see that the same way. You know, the family unit is a little model of God's relationship with his people. And when a child is really little, when the child looks to mom and dad, that parent is like God to them. They don't understand. When mom and dad say it, remember when kids are really little, you can say anything. That's why you better be careful what you say to them. You can say anything to them and they'll believe you. That's exactly how you and I are supposed to be right now. See, our problem is the danger as we grow older, we've got to keep from growing up as we grow older. That's the danger. Growing up is a bad thing. As we get older, we should grow downward toward being more like a child. For unless we are like a child, Jesus said, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What did he mean? When God says it, I believe it, that settles it. And so he says, your father. Wow. He knows what you need. That breeds hope. This was an awesome, radical thing for him to say. I'm going to say something that's going to maybe freak somebody out. I get a letter every time I mention a certain word here in a second, but you just got to get used to it. I'm going to keep mentioning it. This was a radical announcement that Jesus made. And what was it? Basically this. God is love. And he loves you. He wants you to come and be his child. So come on. Radical statement. This week, you saw probably on the news, they were playing it again, where Rosie O'Donnell said, and I quote, radical Islam is as dangerous as radical Christianity. I don't know what planet she lives on, but I pray for her. But radical Islam is as dangerous as radical Christianity. Let me think that through for a minute. If I obey the Quran word for word, you're dead. If I obey the Bible word for word, I have to love you. So, Rosie, who would you rather spend the night with? A radical Muslim or radical Christian? Because if I'm going to be a radical Christian, and I'm telling you, I'm praying every day, oh, God, make me radical. It means what I'm praying is, God, make me loving like you are. I lament, you and I lament over the fact that we're not loving enough. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says that God loved us first before we ever loved him. For God so loved the world, he gave us his son. What an awesome thing to think of. God, in his love for us, for me, sent Jesus to die for us, to give us a new life, to become his child. And if that's radical, then bring it on. I love it. Fourth and final point, life according to who? What occupies your life? In this world, at this time, what occupies your life? Verses 31 to 34. Is it the pursuit of God? Is that what occupies your life? Look at this again. Verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God. The word but that is written here is a powerful word of contrast. Opposite to worry. Opposite to anxiety. Opposite to worldly wealth and pursuit of possessions. Opposite to your own agenda and your own program. What's the answer? Jack, you've told me a lot of stuff. How do I fix this and change this in my life? There it is. Verse 31, seek first the kingdom of God. This is it. This is the point of application. What do I do with these messages? Seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Put away things that pull you away from the kingdom of God. Come on, it's time to be men and women of God. Stop goofing off. We need to stop playing games. What pulls you away? What is the thing that God has been saying to you? Don't do it. It could be anything, but God says it to you. Don't do that. Listen, don't do it. And fill it, or fill that moment, that void, whatever it is, with things of the Lord. Keep a Gideon Bible in your pocket if you need to. Carry it everywhere you go. Get away from your desk, get over to the company bathroom, go into the stall if you have to, and pray. Start becoming wise and occupying and pursuing God in your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. What a powerful statement. Three verses quickly. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith is it impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know. I don't see much of God in my life. This is what you're saying. I'm not really seeking God all that much, and I'm wondering why I'm so dry. Number two, Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, saith the Lord. Those who seek me diligently will find me. Seek him. Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. Verse 31 says here, and all these things will be added to you, the things that you and I need. But here's the thing that I want you to consider for a moment. He says, Jesus says, all these things will be added to you. And I wrote in my notes, sarcastically to me, but is that enough? Jesus says, your Father's going to provide everything you need. Don't worry about it. In my mind, the question arises, but will that be enough? And the answer to that is, we'll see. Because if my eyes are fixed on me, what God has promised to provide, let's be honest, it's not going to be enough. If my eyes are fixed on me, what God gives me will not be enough. It's never enough when my eyes are on me. But if my eyes are on the Lord, what he gives, I'm satisfied. Why? Because naked I came, naked I go, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, when we get this sense of entitlement, hey, God, I saw a car, a certain car, not here. I didn't see the car here. But the license plate said tithe on it. And it was probably a $150,000 car. And the license plate said tithe. What kind of message does that send? That's not what that verse means. Yeah, give to God and woo-hoo, look what happens. That's not what it means. You give to the Lord, he will provide what you need. You love him, you be his child, you'll have what you need. But the haunting question comes back in a carnal mind, but I'm afraid, will that be enough? And that all depends on your heart and mine. In Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And in Psalm 37:4, the Bible says there, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What's the prerequisite? Delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, cool. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord and get a Porsche. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he's going to talk to you and say, you don't need a Porsche. Or whatever. Second, under this point, what occupies your life and mine? Is it the prize of eternal life? Is it the prize of eternal life? This is a big one right now. Do not fear, little flock. Is this not sweet? The word in Greek is fear not. It's a declaration. Fear not, little flock. It's a term of endearment. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Some of you need to mark this because you're thinking God's trying to keep the kingdom away from you. I really want to go to heaven. I really, really do. I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. I don't know if Jesus is going to let me in. Well, you believe he died on the cross for your sins? Yes. Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? Yes. Listen, he wants you there more than you want to get there. Just believe him. Jesus said, don't fear. Stop worrying about this thing. It's your Father's good pleasure. Hello, God is going to make himself happy by giving you the kingdom. He's going to put a smile on his face. He loves it. Any parent loves to give gifts to their kids. Okay, we need to hurry. You guys keep slowing me down here. Very fast, John 3:15 and 16. Listen, for whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have, that's a free gift, everlasting life. The heaven that the Bible speaks about is a perfect place, and God wants you there. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, for in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, by the way, it's an unearnable gift, of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. 1 John 1, verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. It's Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, this is the true God and eternal life. And then Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of thee, O Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. No wonder why Jesus says, don't be upset, don't be afraid. It's your Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. Final consideration, what occupies your life? Is it the desire of heaven? Is heaven your desire? Jesus said, sell what you have and give alms. By the way, he's not saying sell everything you have, go into poverty, and now you qualify to be a Christian. The word implies sell what you have in abundance. The stuff you've hoarded up that you don't even know you own. He says, give that away, get rid of it, and give to the poor. Why? Provide yourselves money bags which will never grow old. What? Lay your treasure up in heaven. Put it up there, investor. A treasure that is in heaven does not fail, he says, where no thief approaches and moths don't eat it up. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, you can either desire this world, you can have it. Come on, let's wake up. You can desire this world. What do you want with it? What are you going to do with it? Honestly, Jesus says, give what you have in abundance for those who need and have need. But what occupies your heart? What's he stressing? Generosity. Watch this. You cannot be a generous person and be a worrier. You cannot be a generous person and be anxious about stuff. If you are anxious and worrying, you can't give to God's efforts because you're too wrapped up with hoarding. But for what? What will come in the end? You guys, I'm going to leave this with you, and we're all done with this. The International Herald Tribune. Now, I got to confess, after I read this, you're all going to start worrying. This is a test to see if the message sunk in. Are you ready? New York, Giselle, some Brazilian supermodel. Giselle's the world's richest model, and to stay that way, she is insisting that she be paid in any currency but U.S. dollars. Like the billionaire investors Warren Buffett and Bill Gross, Giselle, the Brazilian supermodel, told Forbes magazine that she will join the growing list of investors who have concluded that the American dollar can only depreciate because Americans are living beyond their means and in such great debt. When Giselle, 27 years old, signed a contract in August to represent Pantene hair products for Procter & Gamble, she demanded payment in euros only, please. Contracts, quote, contracts starting now are more attractive in euros because we don't know what is going to happen to the U.S. dollar, close quote. Her concern is warranted. The U.S. dollar has fallen 34% against the euro since September 11, 2001, but traders and forecasters say it will weaken even more as the U.S. home sales fall and the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates. The dollar has plummeted to its lowest level ever last week against the euro, the Canadian dollar, and the Chinese yuan, the Chinese currency, and was at the lowest level in 26 years against the pound. The dollar is falling as investors can obtain better returns outside the United States and away from the dollar. Quote, I've told all of our clients that if you only had one idea, one investment, it would be to buy an investment in non-dollar currency, said Gross, the chief investment officer of Pacific Investment Management in Newport Beach, California, manager of the world's largest bond fund. Jim Rogers, a former business partner of George Soros's, said last month that he was selling his homes and all his possessions that are in the U.S. currency. Quote, the dollar is collapsing. Close quote. Rogers said when he announced last week that he was moving to Asia, I am moving to Asia because by moving there now, I will be positioning myself as those who once moved to New York in 1907 or in London in 1807. Leaving the United States is the wave of the future. So, Pastor, now I got something to worry about. No, you have an opportunity to apply this message. What you and I are trusting in, is it God or is it the stuff of this world? Better lay your treasure up in heaven where thieves or moth or currency fluctuations don't matter. Amen?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Life According to Whom? A look at Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament gospel written by Dr. Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we stepped aside from our verse-by-verse through this gospel of Luke and presented Pastor Jack's Being a Christian While on Campus. It's actually part of a greater collection of teachings called the Life in the Bible series. But Being a Christian While on Campus, we thought we would air and offer because of the time of year. Well, we've gotten quite a bit of response on Being a Christian While on Campus, so we've made the decision to extend our offer of sending you on DVD Being a Christian While on Campus for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. The contribution is tax deductible, of course, and you just have to ask for it by name, Being a Christian While on Campus on DVD. More than one way to get in touch, beginning with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.